This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you been struggling lately? Maybe you're having trouble sleeping, difficulty with a relationship, or just suffering from low self-esteem. If so, then BetterHelp wants to help you. BetterHelp offers licensed therapists who are trained to listen and to help you. You get to talk to your therapist in a private online environment at your convenience. There's a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's 20,000 plus therapist network, and they give you access to help that may not be available in your area. You just need to fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and then you get matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Join the 2 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with an experienced BetterHelp therapist. And there's a special offer to Nowhere to Be Found listeners. You'll get 10% off of your first month, but only if you go through the link or type in betterhelp.com/NTBF for Nowhere to Be Found. That's better, HELP.com/NTBF. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. And you can find the link in our show notes and on our website, nowheretobefoundpodcast.com. This week's episode is sponsored in part by BetterHelp. BetterHelp is a professional licensed therapy service that is done securely online. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can connect in a safe and private online environment. You can also send messages to your counselors anytime, and you'll get a timely and thoughtful response. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions. BetterHelp has licensed professional counselors who are specialized in things like depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, trauma, anger, and family conflicts. I want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/nowhere. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's betterhelp, HELP.com/nowhere.
I'm your host, Amanda Papineau, and this is Nowhere to Be Found.
The thing that we've all been missing from Ryan's case was a firsthand account of the night he went missing. Someone who was actually at that party. So I contacted his roommates, and a couple that live with Ryan, Chris and Kristen, messaged me back, and they were willing to answer some questions and walk me through what happened that night. Chris and I only spoke through Messenger, but the first thing he was able to clear up for me was how big the party was. He told me that there were at least 25 people there, and at least 6 of those people actually lived in that house. That made a lot more sense to me. I had heard up to that point that there were only 9 to 10 people, which always made me wonder, how could somebody have not seen Ryan leave? With 25 people, that's a lot easier to understand, so I'm glad he was able to speak on that. Kristen then agreed to doing an interview with me. This is the first interview I've ever heard from someone who was actually there that night. But I want to make a note. There's been so much speculation about the events of that night, so understandably, people who were there have been hesitant to come forward. Everyone loves to point the finger and have a scapegoat, but these friends of Ryan's truly cared for him and are trying to help. It's important to remember that these events happened almost 4 years ago, while they were intoxicated. Details are difficult to remember from 4 years ago, even if you were sober, so I give them all the credit in the world for doing their best to pull together a timeline for me and answer some questions.
My name is Kristen Lacko. I was living with Ryan when we were in Sun Peaks. My boyfriend and I both were there in Sun Peaks, and yeah, that's how I met Ryan.
That's awesome. So did you know one of the group of the friends? Like, how did you guys end up living together?
So Chris and I, actually, my partner and I, we started out living in Sapacom. We moved to Sun Peaks when it first opened in October. And then we wanted to move in, obviously get our own place. We didn't want to stay in Sapacom. So a girl that I worked with, she wanted to get a place as well. So we kind of hooked up with her and we found a place together. And sure enough, we moved into this house, which was me, my partner, a couple other people, and James. And James was saying that he had his friend moving in, which was Ryan. So we first met Ryan initially when Ryan moved in. It was closer around Christmas time. It was in about mid, like early December, I think, from what I can remember, when Ryan moved in. But Chris and I and everyone else moved in November. But we didn't meet Ryan until December.
Okay, so you guys all kind of have the same thing. You're young, just looking for something fun to do for the winter, kind of just grab onto these seasonal jobs and move in together. And so you meet Ryan kind of through James.
Yes.
And what was he like? Like, how was the connection for you guys?
Yeah, great. Like, Ryan was really nice. He was really shy at the beginning. I mean, you could tell it was his kind of like first season going away. Like, I've done lots of seasons before, so I was pretty used to like what was happening in this small ski town and all that. But yeah, Ryan initially was a really nice guy, really welcoming, so friendly, and we knew that we were going to get along with him really good. So yeah, it was really good first impressions.
Okay, so things kind of go well through December and January. Are you guys often going out together? Like, is that a regular thing for you to go out to the bars and to different parties together as a group?
So, to be honest, Ryan and James kind of more had their, like, even though we were roommates, yes, we were friends, but Ryan and James had more of their side of the friends. And then Chris and I kind of made our other friends at the beginning when Chris and I first got there. And sometimes if we were going out, like we would kind of, our friends would come to our house. We would kind of say, have some drinks together, but we would mostly go out just with our friends and we would more just maybe see Ryan out. But at the beginning, Ryan didn't really go out. Him and James didn't really go out too much at the beginning, to be honest. Like, they were really, like, if they would have some drinks with us at home and stuff. But I think, yeah, they kind of went out more towards the end of, like, mid-January-ish. But yeah, like, to be honest, like, we were friends with Ryan, but we did all kind of have our separate groups as well at the same time.
So then that night that you guys did go out, that was kind of different. Yeah. Then. So you guys all decided to go out together in advance or just kind of happened that way? Or how did that all go down?
Yeah, so we decided to go out in advance. This was, from what I can remember, I think this was Ryan's first silent disco. And to be honest, this was Chris and I's first silent disco going as well. There was ones before that, but I'm pretty sure this was Ryan's as well. So we were all like, oh, let's all go together. And it was James as well. So we all decided, like, it was me, Chris, our friends, and then it was a couple of our roommates, and obviously Ryan and James. So Ryan was, we were all off work way before the sound disco, but Ryan had to work till 7. So Ryan we just said, like, we'll wait around till you get home, Ryan. That's fine, because it's not till later anyway, the sound disco, and we went to all have drinks together. So yeah, we just waited around. When Ryan got off work, he came home, got dressed, and then yeah, we just had a few drinks and just slowly made our way up to Bottoms, but it was closed at that point. They weren't open. So we did go to another bar called Masses, which is just like 10 feet away from Bottoms. Like, so it was really close. So we just had a few drinks there before, and then once Bottoms opened, that's when we all went together inside to the silent disco.
Okay, how many people were in your group? So him and James, you and Chris.
Yes.
How many other people would you say?
Yes, so it was me, Chris, James, Ryan. It was another roommate. There was a girl, and she had her partner there at the time, so it was him. And then Chris and I had three other friends there as well, so I say about 9. And I can't remember if Ryan and James had a friend, their friends over. I don't think they did. I think there's just about 9 or 10 of us. Yeah, I would say 9, 10 of us for sure.
Okay. Yeah. So a pretty good group. Pretty solid.
Yeah.
Group.
Yeah. It was really fun. Yeah.
Yeah, I bet. So you guys go to this other bar, you're waiting for Bottoms to open. They open up, you end up going in there, and the silent disco, I've never been to one, but I know what it is. So you get a pair of headphones, right? When you walk in. And so everyone's wearing headphones and listening to the music.
Yeah.
through the headphones as opposed to out like on the speaker.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
That is cool. That's so different. So, I mean, it's kind of weird to think about though. Like, so if you're wearing headphones, how are you talking to people? Like, you take your headphones off to talk to people, or is it like not a lot of talking?
Honestly, it's not a lot of talking. It's like, yeah, if you do want to talk,
silent.
Yeah, if you do want to talk, you take your headphones off. You just have to like tap your friend on the shoulder and be like, take your headphones off, and like kind of mimic.
Okay.
But yeah, it's so strange when you actually do take the headphones off and you're not talking to anyone. Like, say you want to go to the bar and get a drink, you take them off and it's just completely silent, but everyone's just like, that's how I'm dancing. It's so funny.
Funny. Yeah. That is really funny. I haven't been, but I kind of want to now. Like, that sounds, it's such a unique experience. Like, I don't think I've ever even seen like a place down here that advertises that they do that, but that's pretty
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
So did you guys stay until they closed down that night, or how long were you there?
Yes, we did. We got there like right when it opened and we stayed till close. And roughly I would say they closed probably about, I think it was like 10 to 1-ish, 1 a.m. I'll just say about 1 a.m. they closed. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And lots of drinking, I'm assuming. Like, there's a bar there, so you guys are all pretty drunk at this point, or how deep are you into the night?
Yeah, here? Like, to be honest, yeah, like at that point it was 1 a.m. We definitely were going back and forth towards the bar. Like, Chris and I mostly stick together when we go out, so like whatever Chris and I were drinking, like we would drink together, like, so whatever everyone else was drinking, like, couldn't really tell you. But yes, I would say everyone at that point at 1 a.m. was a few beers deep, that's for sure.
Okay, so they closed down, and where do you guys go from there?
Yeah, so we closed down. So basically we had to go get our coats at Coat Check. We started walking because we heard about this after party that was happening on Burfield Drive. So we all decided, like, yeah, we want to go for sure. We just all started kind of walking. I would say there's about like 8 or 9 of us. So it was kind of like a big crew started to walk. And then all of a sudden, okay, this shuttle bus, which from what I heard, it was an airport shuttle bus. He just kind of stopped, to be honest, one of the people, I think, just flagged them down for fun, just thinking like, oh, we'll see if I will pick us up. And to us, he actually stopped. So we're like, oh, okay.
That's amazing. Yeah. That would be the best thing ever. You're so cold and like you don't want to walk. Like,
so
that'd be
cold.
Amazing.
It was freezing. It was snowing. Like, in like that walk down to the Brookfield Drive, like in the snow, it takes you like 25 minutes, half an hour, especially if you have some drinks, like longer. Like, it's just a horrible walk.
Yeah, I bet. When the shuttle pulls up, were you for sure that Ryan was with you at that point?
Oh, 100%. 100% Ryan was with us. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, for sure. Him and both James, like, it was me, Chris, James, and Ryan. Of the four, us four roommates were the only ones on that bus. Other than that, it was just our friends.
And they take you all the way to the party?
So he doesn't take us all the way to the party. He takes us just at the beginning of Burfield Drive, which is the road that the house is on. Just at the end there, he just drops us off. And to be honest, it was only about like I would say a couple minute walk, like 4 minute walk to the house. So it's a lot better than walking half an hour.
Yeah, I bet. Okay, so you guys get there and it's, what would you say, like probably 1:30 by this point?
Yeah, I would say it was pretty, yeah, I would just say about, yeah, 1:20, 1:30-ish, let's just say.
Okay, and when you get there, is it like going off? Like, it's a pretty big party, or what is it like when you first get
there? Yeah, of course, like, people got to think, like, this is a ski town. So, like, if there's an after party happening, like, mostly everyone knows about it. And for some peaks, it'd be so small. Like, if there is an after party, anyone who works on the hill is probably going to know about it if they're out at that time. So when we got there, yes, there was probably 20 plus people there. Like, there's people in the kitchen, in the hallway, in the living room, outside, upstairs, like, on their patio. Like, there was 20 plus people there. Yeah. Like, it wasn't a small party. It was like, yeah, like a proper after party on the ski hill.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you know a lot of those people?
Like, yeah, most, like, from everyone that should have been there is people that was working on the hill, or who was visiting. I don't know, like, if they had friends visiting, but yeah, everyone that was there was, I'm assuming, was on the hill. Like, we obviously don't know everyone that works on the hill. It is small, but again, like, most people that were there, we would have recognized or known. Yes.
Okay. And do you know the people that own or not own the house, but lived in the house?
Yeah, we did. Like we didn't hang out with them ever. Like we just never hung out with them, but we knew of them. Yes.
Okay. So you get there at 1:30 or 1:20 or 1:30-ish. And at that point, do you split from Ryan or are you still with him?
Nope. So from what I can remember, we were all kind of in the living room area. Like my partner, Chris, and our friends and Ryan and James were there. We were just chilling, but we don't have any alcohol or anything there. Like we're leaving a bar, like there's no alcohol, like no liquor store open, nothing. So like we get to this party and like, we don't have anything to drink. So we're all just basically sitting there, just kind of like looking around, like all of our other friends are around as well. But like, I mean, if you know the people of the house, maybe they'll offer you some drinks or maybe some people brought some, but like none of us had any drinks. So we were just kind of sitting there, which is fine. But yeah, we were just all kind of in the same area. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did Ryan seem okay to you? Like, was he having a good time? Did he seem?
Yeah. From what I saw, a totally fun time. Like we were having fun, like totally, totally good time. Nothing wrong. Nothing other than usual, I guess.
Okay. His mom said that somehow down the line, I don't know exactly how she found this out, mm-hmm. but that Ryan was taking MDMA that night. Mm-hmm. Did you know about that? Like, did he seem like he was on something to you that night?
To be honest, like all I can say is that like he just seemed fine to me. Like he was nothing. He was totally fine. He was totally like we were talking. There was just nothing. Like I've said, there's nothing out of the ordinary that seemed weird. Like he was totally fine. He was totally fine. Yeah. Like
having a great time, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's right. Like so, like to be honest, like there was nothing. Yeah, he was totally fine. I remember talking to him. Like we were sitting on, like he was on one couch, I was on the other couch. Like he was fine. He was up. He was alert. Like so, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Because my thought, because like Heather had, she didn't exactly know like all of what like Molly would make you do, but I do. Yeah. So I was like, okay, I know that like, she was like, maybe he was in a depressive state. And I was like, I highly doubt that.
Yeah.
I was thinking though, like when he goes to leave, I know that like that can make you, your body temperature, not feel, you don't necessarily feel like temperature, the truest form, like you would run hot.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I wonder if he could have left without his coat or something like along those lines.
Yeah.
Due to that, like if he was at the peak of his high and it was just feeling really great, having a good time, like chatting with everybody, things were going, you're just like on top of the world and you're just like, I don't need my jacket. I can just bounce and I'll be fine. I could see that happening. Is there?
So no, basically what, so how it happened. So basically James left first because he wanted to go home. So James walked, he left first by himself. And then, okay. Like I said, like at this point, like none of us had like any drinks or anything. And like, I had to work at 7 a.m. in the morning. So it was reaching like 2 a.m. at the point. Like we weren't there, to be honest, we weren't there that long. I would say like I said, about a half an hour, like that's, so I had to work at 7 a.m. My partner, Chris, had to work. And I just looked at him and said like, oh, I want to go now. Like I was kind of like sobering up at that point and I was just getting over it. Like I just wanted to go home and like had to work. So, and Chris was like, yeah, I'll come with you too. And our friend who beside us, Jordan, he wanted to get up. He mm-hmm. just said, oh, I'm coming with you guys as well. So we just said, yeah, let's just leave.
Okay.
So we got up to leave and like, I look behind me and I look behind and I think I see Ryan get up to like come with us, but he never fit, like tells us like, hey guys, I'm coming with you. Like we just get up. I look. Right. Up and I'm just like, oh, Ryan's coming with us, thinking that in my head, you know what I mean? Like I'm with my boyfriend. Yeah. I'm with two guys. Like I just want to get home. I'm at 7 a.m. like my boyfriend and I leave, like we leave together, like we start, like we don't really wait for people. Like I'm with my partner already. Like that's who I feel safe with.
Right. So that's who you came with. Right. Right.
So Chris and I and Jordan, us three, we just walk up and we leave. We get out and like at this point it's 2 a.m. It's freezing out. It's snowing. Like it's dark. Like we're just rushing to get home. And like we, Chris and I don't live far. Right. And our friend Jordan, he just lives in Safacom. So we walk to the end of Burfield Drive. And just across the road is the Safacom. So we say bye to our friend Jordan. So he leaves, and then Chris and I, we turn left down the main road, and our house where we live is on the main road. And from that main road, probably a couple minute walk, there is this path through the woods that we could have taken that kind of comes out at our house, but there's no lights. Like I said, it's not cloud, it was snowing, and like we were like, no, screw that. We are not walking through this like dark path. So we just walk on the road. It's lit. Like,
yeah.
It's way easier. And then Chris and I, yeah, we just get home and like, to be honest, we just go straight to bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how much time would it have saved you if you went down the other path, like the dark path that's not lit and all
that? Oh, no, no time. To be honest,
it's not worth it.
It's quicker to take, like, for us, it was quicker to take the road because it's plowed and it's lit and we can just like walk straight through this path. Like, it's dark. Like, yeah, like I said, there's not cloud or anything. So you'd be trucking through snow, which, yeah, it would take like
care.
Yeah.
Okay. So it wouldn't make sense for Ryan to get up with you guys, because since James is gone, there's really nobody else at that party that he knows as well as your core, like that group.
Well, no, Ryan definitely knows, like he knows other people. So Ryan was kind of more on the, like, so they call them like the lifties. So they're lift operators who like control the lifts for up the ski hill. So like Ryan was kind of like I said, they kind of had their own different friend crew, and Chris and I had our own. So Ryan definitely would have known other people than just our friend crew there for sure.
So more of the people, like when you say Ryan had his own friends and stuff, like those own friends were at this party too. Like his group was kind of at this party.
Like some were, I would say yes. Yeah. Like,
so he had enough here. He would feel comfortable
saying. Yes. 100%. He would 100% feel comfortable saying yes.
Okay, cool. Okay, so you guys get home. James is already there.
Well, from what we know,
what happened?
Yeah, like I'm assuming he was home in bed, yeah.
Okay, and what happens from there?
So we wake up. Like I said, Chris and I just go to bed. I have to wake up for 7 a.m. in the morning. Chris has to wake up as well. We just get ready as usual, and I just go to work. And I just went up to work, and it was probably about in the afternoon. James, he finally came up. James didn't have to work that day, but he was skiing on the hill. So he came up to obviously to eat and stuff, because that's where I work, where you get food. So he just came, and we were just talking about the night. We're like, oh, it was so much fun. Like, we had such a good time. And James was like, yeah, Ryan didn't come home last night. And I was like, oh, really? And to be honest, we were both like, oh, he's with a girl for sure. Like,
right. Like, yeah. That would be my first thought.
100%. And we were like, we didn't think twice about it. Like, we were just like, oh, Ryan, he's with the girl, 100%. And we were just like, yeah, but like conversation went on. And then James left and he just went on for the day. And I just went on working for the day. Nothing was unusual, nothing. And then, so we get home. I think I get home probably about four-ish is usually when I get home from work. We talk to we see James, and then, so we asked him, we're like, oh, did Ryan come? Have you heard from Ryan? Like, has he come home? And James is like, oh, actually, no, I haven't actually. From what I can remember, I think James, I don't know if James got the text message before, because I know Ryan had to work at like 11-ish. So I think whoever Ryan was supposed to work with messaged James asking if they know where Ryan is. And James just said, no, I don't, sorry. And then James just went on about his day skiing on the hill and didn't think twice about it, just assuming, oh, he'll eventually show up. He's just running late.
Yeah, or hungover, or like he's just not coming to work today. Like, there's so many things
that would be thinking. That's right. They're still at this girl's house, like from what we thought, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So, yeah. And then, yeah, it was about 4:30. We were all just like, oh, really? Like, Ryan never. So we said to James, we just said, well, text that girl that messaged you, like, see if James actually showed up for work, like message her. And so James messaged her. To be honest, I don't know who it was that he was messaging. But she never really answered back, because obviously she was working. So she was probably busy and going on with her day. We never heard from her. So we just decided, because there's this Facebook group that everyone at Sun Peaks can go on. Like, if people are selling stuff or they want to lift down into Kamloops, which is like the closest town, but it's far, you just post on this site. So to be honest, we just posted this video, or not video, sorry, a photo of Ryan asking if anyone has seen him, like just literally joking, like not trying to like be like serious about it. Or like, we were like, has anyone seen our friend? Is he passed out at your house or like on your couch or something? Yeah. Hearing like where he is. Yeah. We haven't heard from him. And like, cause James tried to text him and stuff too. So we were just kind of doing that like as a funny thing, thinking like, oh, Ryan's going to be pissed because he's going to be like, why did you guys post that about me? Like, why did you do that? And then, yeah. And then, so it came 7 o'clock, which when Ryan usually gets off work, is that's when the friends messaged James back and said, Ryan never showed up for work. So then that's when we were like, kind of like, okay, alarm bells kind of started going off. We were like, all right. Like what? Like that's a bit strange. Like we haven't heard from him. He's not home. His phone's off. Like this is very this is weird at this point. Like we were all like,
his phone was off. Like going straight to voicemail.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, like it's totally off. There was no calls were coming through to his phone. Like it was just off. Like we tried to call him, but his phone was off.
Is it unusual for him not to show up to work? Like you've never heard that before, right?
Oh yeah, Ryan. He always showed up for work. Like he would never miss a day from work. Maybe okay. Like. Maybe late because hungover, but always showed up. He was over there. Yeah, always.
Sure. Or at least called.
Yeah, or at least called for sure. Like, Ryan was so responsible. Like, he was such a nice, like, yeah, okay. 100%. Like, so this was very strange. And, like, Ryan always came home right after work. He would never chill around, never, like, okay. Stay up for a drink. Like, he just would always come home straight from work. So that friend message and said, oh, Ryan never showed up for work. Like I said, that's when we were like, hey, this is a bit strange now. So what we did, we posted that thing on there and everyone was kind of saying like, oh, maybe try, like people were kind of at this point getting, I can't remember really what post people were like, oh, maybe try calling hospitals around, or some people were like, oh, file for missing person, da da da. And we were like, oh, well, we don't really want to do that right away. Like, we kind of want to see if we can get to the bottom of it first. Like, surely he's somewhere. Like,
right.
Like this right. Doesn't make sense. So anyways, me, Chris, and James, and our other roommate, I think it was Ellie, I'm pretty sure, we got in my car and we drove to that house that we were partying at. We drove to the house and James said, I'm going to go and just knock on the door and see if Ryan's there. And we said like, yeah, for sure. So we drove, James got out, he went and just talked to someone there. And they were just like, no one's here. Like everyone who lives, who's at this house lives here. Like, no, sorry. Like he's not here. Sorry. So we were like, oh, okay.
Did James go in the house?
No, he didn't go physically in. He just talked to them from outside. From what I can remember, yeah. He just kind of knocked in. I don't know who answered the door. I don't know what roommate did. But yeah, they just said, no, sorry, like he's not here. Sorry, like everyone left tonight. And yeah, so James came back and he's like, no, he's not here. So we're like, okay. So we went back to the house, and so that's when we decided to call around to hospitals. And we just said, well, worst case, maybe something did happen, and obviously we're not going to be notified. So let's just call around the hospitals, like all the hospitals in Kamloops. So we called around just asking, to be honest, if any patient was there by the name of Ryan Stuka, and they just no, went to the next one, his hospital, no. So that's when we were like, that's when all of us were like, okay, this is serious. Like something's wrong. Like there's definitely something wrong. So that's when we, it wasn't James who called the RCMP. It was one of our roommates that called him. I think it was our friend Ellie. She called the RCMP to report it. And we told, and then James, we were like, you have to call Heather and tell her.
Yeah.
So that's when James sent Heather the text message. Okay. Yeah, so that's all we did.
And all the time, I'm assuming you guys are still trying to like call his phone and see if it gets turned on. And yeah. it's obviously not.
Yeah, we were just all sitting in the living room, just like could not believe that we were just making this call about our roommate that he was missing. Like we just couldn't understand how small, and we literally live like 10-minute walk from this place. Like it just wasn't making sense to us. Like we were scared, we were sad, like we were just didn't know what to think, because none of us have ever been through this before. So we just didn't know what to do. Like, what do you do?
And I hate to like go back to it because I don't really think like, I don't know. I have a weird thing with like, I don't think that Ryan is like a drug type of guy, but that's the only thing that I can think of where I'm like, there's no like motive for anybody to do anything to Ryan. Like he's this nice guy. Everybody likes him. He's shy, whatever. And then this wrench gets thrown in there. Like could like, if you get drugs from somebody, that there's a chance that means that you know a dealer of some sort. And there could be the dealer that knows a dealer that knows a dealer. And it could be a sketchy guy somewhere along that line. So like if you owed someone money or if you, I don't know. Like that's the only thing that I could think of where I was like, if it's not a complete accident that he fell in the snow and was found right away, could there be some like, could he have owed somebody money that you know of, or is, does that sound crazy to you?
Yeah, no, that's would not be the case at all. Like, no, 100% not. Yeah, no, that definitely would not have happened. Yeah. Okay.
That's just like the average, you know, like it doesn't seem right. Like it doesn't seem like it fits with his personality, but when I try to think of like all the different possibilities, it just has to come
out.
Like, okay, let's just go down that avenue.
I know there's so many things because it just doesn't make sense to anyone. Like when you get there, and especially for Ryan's parents, like when they actually saw how small Sun Peaks is, like I think everyone was just surprised that he just wasn't found. So it is just very strange. Like, that's all I can say. It's just very strange. I don't know. Yeah.
And unless he got a ride out of there, like somebody mentioned, I don't know exactly what it was, but like that maybe he had gone to get pizza.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
Some other place, but it's an awfully late trip to go get pizza.
Yeah, and I doubt, that to be honest, I would have gone up to get pizza at like 2 a.m. in the morning. Like we left around 2 a.m. and say like if Ryan, like it just would have, it's like a 25, half an hour walk up this place to get pizza and it's freezing out, it's snowing. No way Ryan would have gone up to get pizza. No way.
Yeah, that sounds crazy to me. I was like,
what? To do that, like, you'd be silly. No way he would have done that. No.
Okay. That was kind of
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow, it's so bizarre. Like, it must be so weird for you guys to, like, just continue on with your life. Like, after this happens.
Yeah.
I mean, everything dies down eventually, and what do you guys do? Like, do you ever go back to that house? Like, is it just super bizarre from there on out?
Yeah, so we never went back to the house. That was like our only time we've ever partied at that house, to be honest. And like every other time we just went back to our house with some of our friends. So we never, that was like our, I think our only time we ever went to that house.
Okay, so back to the people at the party. Just are any of the people there like, when you think like, okay, what could have gone wrong? Either Ryan got lost on the way, like the options that go through my head, either he got lost, fell in the snow and something happened, like he froze and something terrible. He's just lying in a ditch somewhere, but we would have found him by now if that was the case. Yeah. Or something happened at that party, which he doesn't sound like the type of guy who would get in a fight with people, but you know, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. Yeah. Is there anybody at that party that you can think of that was like kind of a giving a sketchy vibe, or like, was there weird, anything weird going on?
No,
that you can
100% not, like nothing. No, 100%.
No fights. Nobody was like aggressive or.
No, 100% not. Like I said, it would have been anyone from that actually works on the ski hill that was at that party. Like from what I was seeing. No. Like, did someone see some, like, was there random people there? Could have been, but to be honest, like 100%, there was nothing weird about that party. Nothing.
Okay. Yeah. So you don't tend to believe that something bad happened to him at that party?
No, I do not. No, 100% not.
Okay. So in your opinion, like, I know you don't know because there's so many unanswered questions, but in your opinion, what do you think happened?
Yeah. So, like I said, like that night that we did call the RCMP to file for missing reports, and when they said, oh, we're going to come up with the canine and have a search around, we were like, all right, we were preparing ourselves for them to come back and say they found him. We were 100% preparing ourselves for that next day. After they said they didn't find anything that night, for that next day when search and rescue was going to come, we were 100% that they were going to find him. Like 100%. There was just, we just, 100%. There was no doubt. We said, we know we're going to find him. It's going to be somewhere. I don't know where it's going to be, but they're going to find him. Like, the closest town is Kamloops, and that's a drive. Like, that's a 40-50 minute drive from Sun Peaks. So, to be honest, I don't really know how to answer that question. I don't really know. I don't know. That's was our thought. We 100% thought that next day he was going to be found. So
that, like, he got lost or like fell in the snow or passed out or something.
That's right. He passed out. He got mixed up with his directions. He got lost. He started walking down like the road and just fell. Or yeah, to be honest, we really thought he was going to be found that next day. And when he wasn't, I don't know. Like, I just don't know how to answer that. I don't know what could have happened. Like, it's just such a small town that, like, someone to go missing there should be found. It just doesn't make any sense.
Ryan's case captivated me, and I'm not the only one. Podcaster Tyler Hooper did a 4-part series on Ryan last year. His podcast is called The Missing and Unexplained, and if you haven't listened to it, you should absolutely check it out. It's never easy to figure out how to end my episodes on a case, but I thought it would be helpful to speak to Tyler and hear about his experiences covering this case as well.
Yeah, so my name is Tyler. I'm a podcaster, storyteller, kind of jack of all trades, trying to figure all this out. But I have a podcast called The Missing and Unexplained. My first season was on Ryan Stuka, and I have a new podcast coming out now called True to the Story. Yeah, that's a little bit about me.
Yeah, great. So when you first started this, why did you pick Ryan's case? Like, what led you to that?
There was a few reasons. I mean, when I started the Missing and Unexplained podcast, and I knew it was going to be focused solely around missing persons. I wanted to pick a case that I was familiar with so that I didn't have to, I guess I wanted to be a little lazy and that I didn't want to do too much research. Like, I wanted to do something that I'd already kind of done, and I'd been following the case for quite a while, and I was actually going to write a blog series about it. So I had already talked to Heather Stuka, Ryan's mom. And so I had the connection and the contact, and I just felt like it was a case I was really interested in. I already kind of had it started. The wheels were in motion. And it's really intriguing, and it's close to home. Like, I mean, it's in BC, it's in the province I live. And it's a cold case. So I thought, you know, I didn't really have any expectations. I just thought, let's see, you know, what happens, who I can interview and, you know, what I can do with it. And, you know, Heather is, as you know, from talking to her, she's incredible. Like, not just as an interviewer and as a mom, but she's just such a nice person. And she connected me with so many people and was so kind with her time. So I think I just picked it because it really intrigued me. And, it's a case I followed for quite a long time, and it's baffling. You know, it really is a mystery.
So is. Yeah, I completely agree. I was captivated by the, like, you know, the little synopsis that you would read about Ryan. The case that I worked first, the Michael Bryson case, his mom actually was in contact with Heather. And so she actually turned me on to Heather and Ryan's case. And then kind of like you just started to follow it either through the Facebook and online, doing the articles and everything. And it's so intriguing because it's just so, there's just nothing. Like, it's such a small town, such a small area to disappear from. And then for all this time to have gone by and just absolutely nothing ever comes out is just mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, it really is. You know, as cliche as the saying is, it is like Ryan vanished into thin air. You know, like it's perplexing. And I thought, you know, after doing the series and talking to so many people and spending so much time with it, I would have, you know, like, oh, this is what definitely happened. But I think I actually ended with more questions than I had when I started. So
totally.
Yeah, it is like one of the strangest and most baffling cases I've come across.
So for anyone who didn't listen to your podcast, just give me a quick rundown. Like, who all did you interview involved in this case?
Oh gosh. Okay. Well, I definitely interviewed Heather. I think she was kind of the only person from the family I interviewed, mainly because she's such a great spokesperson. And she just did such a good job. I talked to one of Ryan's childhood friends. I talked to Search and Rescue. I talked to the RCMP. I talked to a reporter who was covering the case, who was working up at Sun Peaks at the time. Who else? There was a few others. I did talk to a few people who didn't make it in. Like, I talked to a bunch of volunteers. Some of them made it into the podcast who helped look for Ryan. Some of them didn't. And I actually spoke to the mayor of Sun Peaks, but I had some audio issues with that recording, and it wasn't that insightful. Not necessarily that it was his fault or anything. It was just, it didn't really fit into the narrative I was creating. So I didn't use that, but I interviewed a lot of people. Like, I want to say it was close to a dozen, and I probably ended up using, you know, between 6 and 8. I can't remember exactly, but I tried to interview as many people as I could from different sides of the story, so to speak.
Yeah, definitely. I actually just interviewed Ryan's roommate, Kristen. It's the first time she's ever done an interview. So she was actually at that party.
Oh, okay, great. Amazing. That's awesome. Was there anything really surprising, or was it pretty much just kind of like what Heather and everyone else has said?
It was definitely the same story that I've heard. Like, they go to the bar, then they go to the silent disco.
Right.
The shuttle thing was kind of interesting, that there's a group of 10 of them. They're walking, and it was just like a joke. They tried to flag down this shuttle, and he just happened to stop for them, which I thought was a little unusual, but whatever.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't know if it's that small of a town where you see somebody on the side of the road and they're waving and you're like, sure, I'll pull over. Like, not.
Yeah, I think like Heather had explained that to me, that like it was like that. Like, that's because it's a ski town and like people give each other lifts up and down the hill. Yeah. And it's cold that time of year. Exactly. And it was, I think, starting to snow, if it not it had already started. So. That's really interesting. I'm looking forward to listening to that, because
I thought that was great, because they've gotten a lot of crap, the people who were there, and
they have
roommates.
Yeah, it's tough too, because like it did happen like relatively a while ago, and I'm sure some of those people, like James, have probably put part of it behind them. I mean, you probably never permanently put something like that behind you, but and honestly, I can see, like, after I read and watched some of the, like, the way the case was covered by the mainstream media when it first started, like, I definitely don't blame them for not wanting to talk, because there was a ton of misinformation put out there. And so, I mean, I totally get the skepticism, but it's really cool that you got one of his roommates or friends to chat, because, you know, I think it is important. I mean, I think Heather kind of just said, you know, like, they might be able to tell you like more specific details about the party, but other than that, like, you know, no one knows where Ryan went. Like, no one, like, when was the last time she saw him? Did she say?
Kristen?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she left, about 2, like maybe 5 to 2, or maybe it was 2 o'clock.
Right.
They got there between like 1:20 and 1:30, and they didn't have any drinks with them anymore. They, they didn't bring their own. And so it was kind of like a BYOB thing. So they were just kind of hanging out. She said they kind of started to sober up, realized it was 2. She had to work at 7.
Oh, gosh.
And so she was like, I got to go. Like, I got to go to bed. And so Chris, her boyfriend, walked with her. And then their other friend, Jordan, who I also reached out to, but I couldn't get him either. The three of them walked back, and she's like, I looked over my shoulder. I saw Ryan stand up, and I just assumed like he's coming with me.
Right.
But when it turned out, like, they got outside and he wasn't with them, it wasn't like, oh shoot, we left Ryan behind. It was like, oh, Ryan wasn't ready to leave. And what she actually told me that was kind of interesting was that Ryan knew way more people at that party than she and Chris knew. They were roommates, but they really didn't go out partying together that often. Like, they kind of had separate groups, and Ryan was like with the lifties, like the other lift operator people. And then Kristen worked in the in the lodge in the kitchen. And her boyfriend worked as a ticketer. So they were kind of like running in different circles a little bit. So she said when Ryan stayed, like, in her mind, that was not weird at all, because he knew a ton of those people. Like, he would have been very comfortable there.
Wow. That's really interesting. And I think Heather did say to me, like, he knew people, but I don't know if she knew the extent of how comfortable they were. But that's really interesting, because it is, to me, the big question is, like, there's only really a couple of things that could have happened to him, given that we know he was in that house at basically 2 a.m. Is that, like, you know, he either left well, I guess not, maybe not two options. There's a few, but like the most likely to me is that, okay, he left on his own accord. He probably maybe had a few more drinks. You know, I think there was people saying that there were some recreational drugs being used that night. They were partying. They were having a good time. They were partying. Right.
Right.
And so, you know, maybe he leaves, it's a snowstorm, gets disoriented, you know, walks out into the woods, you know, dies of exposure or, you know, that sort of thing. Or like some people have said, something happened at the party. And you know, a sequence of events followed that, you know, led to his disappearance. And you know, a lot of people have different ideas of what could have happened, but it was, I don't know about you, like when you talked to Kristen, but like when I talked to Heather and the RCMP, like the RCMP didn't really get into specifics, but you know, Heather had said, you know, she talked to everyone at the party and the RCMP, not only interviewed, but I think they might've even polygraphed some people. Maybe I'm getting that confused with something else I'm thinking of, maybe another case, but I know for sure she said that the RCMP like did thorough interviews on those people and basically cleared them all, from my understanding. I mean, who knows, the RCMP could have said that, you know, and still, you know, had a couple of suspects, but it is interesting because like, did Kristen say anything? Like, was it a bad crowd? But it just sounds like it was
it wasn't a bad crowd. Yeah, that's exactly what I asked. I was like, so what was the vibe? Like, was there any part of you that was like, oh, sketch crowd tonight? Like,
yeah, like maybe
like late, you come in late to the party, 1:30, like that's pretty late to show up somewhere. What? She was like, no, 100%. Like everyone there was having a good time. Nothing weird, no aggression, no fights. And I was like, okay. So I have to go down the avenue. I know Heather really, to me, she really sounded like she did not think that the fact that Ryan was on MDMA had anything to do with anything.
Right.
And I don't know if I feel that way.
Yeah. And are you hinting like maybe accidental overdose or something like that? Or what's.
Well, it could be. I mean, that's certainly, I think that, MDMA certainly would have made his judgment on, like, because I was saying to Kristen, one of the symptoms that you would have is like it raises your body temperature pretty substantially.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was like, maybe it's a thing where he's been drinking, he's not feeling cold at all. Like, in fact, he's feeling very hot. And so he goes outside without his jacket because he is burning up and his judgment is impaired. And negative 20 degrees, like, that's not a joke. You don't have very long in that.
Yeah. And I think that's the most, to me, that's the most probable scenario is that, like, yeah, whether he was leaving because, he was too hot or he was like trying to go home or like, like you said, I think it's fair to say that regardless, like his state of mind at 2 a.m. would have been impaired, like whether it was from alcohol, drugs, both. Like, I don't think that's indisputable. Heather has basically said, you know, yes, he was drinking and there were drugs being used that night. But again, like, I'm not judging anyone because I've been to those types of parties and I participated. Like, it's what you do when you're young and you want to have fun, especially when you're in a ski town, you know, and you're hanging out
You don't think anything's going to happen because of it. It's not like because you're on drugs, you deserve to go missing. Like that is absolutely not, it's not a blame game at all. I definitely don't judge him. But it does make me think the other thing with drugs is, it requires money. And I know that he took out cash that night. I know that he had like a decent amount of money on him because he thought that the money that he had on him was going to last him that night and the following night. And obviously if you're going to pick up drugs from someone, you're going to pay in cash. So it just brings in a new circle of people. Like maybe Ryan, like I didn't ask, but I kind of wanted to, like, was this a regular thing? Like, do you know who he got those drugs from? Because
that's what I was going to ask.
There's a dealer involved. That means your dealer has a dealer. And so is there any way, I asked her this, is there any way that he could have owed somebody money, let's say,
right,
from drugs or whatever? And she's like, 100% no.
Yeah.
Definitely not. He would never get wrapped up in that. And he had money. Like, he wouldn't have... Yeah. He wouldn't have like been paying his bills and like going out to eat if he owed somebody scary money. And I was like, well, that makes sense to me.
Oh, totally. So, yeah. Cause I asked those same questions to Heather and other people, like, cause I was thinking the same thing, but yeah, like the foul play theory and on any aspect, like, doesn't make sense to me. The only one that like kind of doesn't make sense, but the only one that I entertain sometimes when I think about it is like, say he did leave the party and he was like disoriented and, you know, a little messed up. And then he's walking along the road and someone accidentally hit him with a car and panicked. Right. And like, decided to maybe they were impaired too. Like, that's the only kind of scenario where I'm like, you know, it's almost too movie-esque, you know, like that stuff happens in movies, but like you do hear about it happening in real life too. Like, people do panic when they do terrible accidents. So, but then again, too, then I go back to like, well, regardless of the snow, like you would think they would have found like a piece of clothing or some blood or like something on the road after the snow melted. Right. So it is so baffling. And, you know, I'm kind of actually relieved to hear that you didn't like uncover some nefarious angle, because I also just felt like Ryan is such a good kid. Like, everyone talks about him with such high esteem, and he and I think that's what drew, like, going back to how, like, what when you first asked me why I wanted to do it, it was like something about looking at the photos of him and just reading about him that I was just like, this, you know, not to say that I was nearly as good of a dude as Ryan was when I was that young, but like, he just kind of reminded me of me in a lot of ways too. Like, it's, you know, he just seemed like he was trying to figure stuff out. He was in a transitional phase in his life, and he wanted to have fun. And he was kind of being, you know, really independent for maybe the first time in his adult life. And, you know, it's just, it's so tragic. And, you know, it is. Yeah. I don't know.
It could be anybody.
Exactly. It could have been anybody.
Yeah. I told his dad, like, I mean, he's Canadian, so it doesn't quite work, but I would say, like, here, he's like an all-American boy, so we'll call him the all-Canadian boy. Like,
all-Canadian boy.
That guy next door who is, you know, he's good-looking, he's smart, he's athletic, he comes from a great family, he's kind of shy, and, like, he has just, like, this sweet look to him. And so I, you know, when I asked, like, his sister, is he the type of guy who might get in a fight, she, like, kind of laughed at me. He was like, no.
Yeah, that's
not.
Yeah, well, because and I said to Heather too, because I was like, you know, if you, and I don't remember, I don't think I put this in the podcast, but we were, you know, talking about, because I said, like, I know Ryan, she said Ryan's much more of a lover than a fighter, and I was like, well, maybe he made some dude jealous, and she said, no, he's not even like that. Like, even with girls, like, he's, you know, shy, and he can be outgoing, but he's like, I don't know, I just, the way she like described him, and I know she's, you know, it's her son, but even with what you're saying and who you talk to, like, I definitely don't get the sense that like Ryan was up to no good that night by any sense. No. And I, you know, it's not like there was a bar fight earlier and it carried back to the after party. Like, it seems to me like what you, like how we started this topic here, like about the drugs and stuff, like one way or another, he probably ended up outside, and unfortunately, like, for one reason or another, like, wandered, you know, in a direction and either got lost or, like, who knows, right? It's so vast up there. It's
crazy how much time has gone by without finding him.
That's
the hardest part of that theory, because that truly does make the most sense, that he got disoriented, though it is a very, very short walk. And I asked Kristen, like, what kind of state was he in when you last talked to him and you guys get up to leave? Like, is he, how impaired? She's like, yeah, totally coherent,
right,
totally alert, having a great time.
Right.
It wasn't like, oh, you know, he was being sloppy or anything. Like, just everything was fine.
So, it's so strange.
Just like, you know, they leave and he just pounds, which, again, like, all your friends leave and then you decide to start.
Yeah.
Pounding.
Why would he,
like,
do that?
I don't know. And he didn't even bring it, so someone else would have had to give it to him. It's just, I have a hard time believing that he was so disoriented that he just wandered off in some random direction, though his house is right down the street. Like, that theory makes the most sense, because I don't think that there is foul play. I have no reason to believe, but then when I really look at that theory, it doesn't make any sense either. Like, none of them do.
And you're right too, because, like, and it's not like he had just moved there. You know, he's been there for 2 months. Like, that's the other thing too, you know, and you know, he would be somewhat familiar with the area. And like you said, the walk is not a very long one.
And it's, you know, lit.
It's relatively well lit. I mean, it did snow a lot, but I mean, I don't know. It's again, it goes back to the beginning. Like, it's absolutely baffling. Like, I don't, you know, I know Heather gets all types of messages about theories, and some of them are just like, absolutely insane. But I can't imagine what it's like for them every year to just like not have a lead to build on, because it is. And the thing is, like, it is, you know, it is such a vast area wilderness wise, but it's not, that big of an area overall. Right. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like it's like someone disappeared in the middle of New York City. It's like, hey, well, that's like a needle in a haystack, right? Like, there's right. so many scenarios you could play out, but it's like, no, it's this quiet ski resort, and
he's not gonna like hike 10 miles.
I don't think so.
So the radius that we should be searching in, like Ryan's dad was telling me, Scott said it was like a mile. They went like a mile. And I'm like, a mile? That is nothing, really. When you think about a search radius, that is nothing. And if you had 200 people searching within 1 mile, like something should have come up.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's the other thing, too. Like, they didn't find, like, you know, like, because usually people who die of hypothermia, and I learned about this in the last series I covered, because it's one of the theories, but like, people, they get, you know, really cold, and then they get really warm or disoriented at some point, and they take off their clothes. And so like, I just feel like, whether it was hypothermia or something else, like how come we didn't find a boot, a glove? Like, how come no one has found anything of his? Anything. Like
a cell phone, his wallet, a hat.
Like absolutely nothing. So that to me is like the really, really strange part, because I think most people who go missing in the outdoors, like, something is usually found of theirs first before they recover someone. Like, they'll find a boot, a hat, a jacket, whatever. Like, because, you know, it got dislodged at some point. Like, that happens with animal attacks a lot. Not that I think that's necessarily a plausible theory in this case, but I'm just saying that, like, that's to me what makes me scratch my head. It's like nothing has been found. Like, and nothing.
That kind of leads me down, like, the other theory we talked about, you know, that he maybe got hit. But again, did his hat not come off? Did his cell phone not get knocked out of his hand? Like, there's just nothing, which then brings up secret option C. Did he just get in a car to go somewhere else? Like, the party was moving to another location. He met a girl. He met somebody who maybe he was looking for more. Like, he was out of Molly or MDMA, and he was looking for more. And somebody was like, oh, you know, it's just a couple blocks this way. I'll drive, you know, somewhere along the line. If he didn't stumble out of there drunk on foot, he must have gotten into a vehicle.
Well, and that's a definitely a plausible theory. But the only thing for me, like, if he did, because, you know, I've been there when you're at the end of the night and you want to keep going, and you're like, maybe that party you're at wants to shut down, and you're like, what are we doing? Let's just go somewhere else, drink some beers, like, whatever. Like, the only thing is, like, if he was with a bunch of other people, like somebody, it's hard enough to keep it's hard enough to keep a secret with two people. Like, I just don't, I feel like at this point there would at least be like speculation or a timeline of like him leaving the house, and there for sure being some validation of that. So that's what's so strange to me, because, you know, like, that would have been something that someone would have noticed, you would think. But so when you, can I ask you this? Cause I didn't get like a really, like, I got a decent sense, but like, do you, from talking to Kristen, talking to everyone else, like, when is the last time, like, was it Kristen? Was she like the last person that you talked to who saw Ryan at the party? Like, to me, it's like, I want to know, like, before who was the last person to go to bed? Like, who would be the last person to see him like there? Alive. I don't want to say alive, because who knows? I mean, you never know, but yeah, I mean, it's unlikely, but I just want to know who was the last person to see him. Cause to me, that would be like, you know, like, if that's not like well known, that would be really important. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
did anybody see him actually going
past 2 a.m.? Yeah.
Like, out on the front porch? Because nobody has actually said that he ever made it outside.
No.
Kristen, said, you know, looked over her shoulder indoors as they're getting their coats, and he is standing, but not walking outside with them. And then the next day, James, Kristen, and another one of their roommates, Kristen, drove her car back to that house, knocked on the door, and asked the guy who answered, like, hey, is we're looking for our buddy, like, is he passed out here, maybe like on the couch or something? And he said, no, everyone who was here last night left last night. Everybody who's here currently at this time lives here.
So that tells me he
left the house.
Yeah, and he either left alone or with other people. But again, if he left with other people, like, they would have come forward and said something, right? So he had to have left alone. Yeah, it's so strange to me. It's frustrating. You know, it's not like he was walking home from work late at night after a night shift too, and like, he just vanished. It's like he was at a party with a ton of people, and he vanished. Like, that's what really irks me. Like, because I'm like, I just feel like there's someone, you know, I think in my podcast, it was the RCMP lady, but, you know, she kind of made a comment that I picked up on. And, you know, mm-hmm. she's, because the saying is, and there's even a CBC podcast named after, like, someone knows something, but she said, like, sometimes no one knows anything or something, right. You know, and I thought that was for her to say that in relation to Ryan's case, I just thought was strange. I'm like, maybe it is one of those instances where, like, there just is a dead end. And
which, you know, is even worse, you know, like,
yeah. Oh, 100%.
Somebody knowing something is that nobody knows anything.
No. And that's, you know, that's how you get new leads, is that, you know, people remember something or someone comes forward and, you know, you can build a timeline off of that. But it was eerie. It gave me goosebumps when she said that, because mm-hmm. I do remember when she said that and I just went, oh, like, I've never heard someone say it that way. And especially coming from someone who's spent multiple years investigating missing persons, like, mm-hmm. she's obviously speaking from experience, right? So yeah, it's baffling. Like,
that's such a hard thing. Like, if nobody knows anything, then, well, one, I feel bad for everybody who, you know, there's so much speculation, especially at the beginning of a case like this.
Yeah.
People point the finger, they say terrible things, and the truth is we don't know. And to ruin other people's lives over speculation is absolutely wrong. And, you know, Ryan being gone is already a tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that there could be another tragedy that people were wrongly accused and their life turned around because of it is just, like, it's so unfair. So there's a big part of me that I'm like, okay, I have to have in my mind that there is a real possibility that nobody knows anything.
Absolutely nothing. No, absolutely. And I'm really glad you brought that up, because it was something I touched on in my series. And I believe it was when I talked to Gene Strong, who's the former editor of Sun Peaks Independent News, that, you know, and I don't know how much of this I put in the podcast, but her and I did have a lengthy conversation about, like, how much, like, these so-called armchair or keyboard detectives, you know, place the blame on people in photos from that night and people who lived with Ryan and who were at the party, like, literally with no actual proof, just trying to make sense of it. And it, you know, it's something that I've seen in other missing persons cases. I can't remember his name right now, but there was a man who went missing on Vancouver Island a couple of years ago. And I remember there was all these theories going around about his friends and family and even his wife. And I just remember, like, I think the Toronto Star, someone did a piece on it, like, how much of an impact that actually had on everyone and how it wasn't helping the investigation and the case and the family. Like, so it is, I'm glad you brought that up, because that is definitely something that I thought about constantly. I was like, you know, I'm not going to accuse anyone of anything. You know, like, I just want them to talk to me. That's it, you know, and, you know, tell me what they know. But yeah, there are other people that, you know, I think I got some comments saying, like, why didn't you know, push on this and that? It's like, well, like, what good is that? You know, what good is upsetting someone when they're taking the time to talk to you about a sensitive issue to begin with, right? So,
yeah, they already lost a good friend.
Like, exactly.
They're already in a traumatic situation. So, yeah, I definitely feel for everyone involved, people who were there, people who weren't there, but, you know, anybody who was in that city, I feel like for listeners, they're like, well, you should know something. It's a small town. It's like, okay, well, it's not that small. Like, you can just live a few doors down and have no idea what we're talking about.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I can't even fathom it, like, having it happen in that kind of a small community. I did try and touch on that a little bit in my podcast series as well, like, how it impacted Sun Peaks. And, you know, to this day, I think it still kind of resonates and percolates in its own way. And is kind of still seeping through the community a little bit, especially around the anniversary. And, you know, I can't imagine what that's like, you know, for some of the volunteers who have, you know, every year still continue to search. Like, there are some really amazing people, that, you know, have reached out to try and help Heather and everyone. And that was a part of the story that I kind of already knew. But then when I talked to those people, and I'm sure maybe you felt the same way, it's pretty amazing what complete strangers decided to do and to do to help and try and help. Like, it really was like a community search effort, you know, because the police, as Heather said, you know, they did their thing, and, you know, a lot of people argue they didn't do enough, and that's their stance. And same with search and rescue, but they have their own protocols they have to go through. And then, you know, Heather really did, through social media, bring this community together. And they, sounds like they had a strong community to begin with, because they're such lovely people. But that to me was like really impressive. And I guess the other side of it, what maybe makes me feel a bit sadder, or, you know, sad, is that like not every case has that kind of clout and people and volunteers. And you would think it would be a case like that where someone would be found, right? Like someone, a volunteer walking in the woods would find something. And to me, that's like maybe even one of the more disturbing elements of the Ryan disappearance, is that so much effort has gone into finding him. And like, there's been, to my knowledge, there's been no like tentative leads since he went missing.
Right. I think, yeah, I said in a previous episode, like they've done everything you could possibly do or expect a family to do for somebody who's missing. They have gone way above and beyond. I mean, renting snow plows, 200 volunteers, going back as soon as the snow melts, they're there. Like it, they have gone so far. And so for there still to be nothing, it's, I hate that it hasn't been rewarded. Like they are such a devoted family, and then community. Like you said, like these people kind of came around the Stukas and like helped, you know, pay fund things at the beginning, help them get that house rental, help, you know, with boots on the ground. And I've experienced another case that's very similar. There's something about watching parents whose child is missing. I think it really gets to people, as it should. And it just brings a very devoted crowd where they're just so invested in the family. And so I think, yeah, that's a huge blessing and a huge silver lining to some of these cases.
I wish I knew what happened to Ryan. But like Tyler said, I may have more questions now than when I started. I do know that he was a beloved son, brother, and friend. His case is still an open investigation, and as recently as May of 2021, search and rescue crews were out searching for Ryan in the Sun Peaks area. Ryan's family is not giving up, and I'm not giving up on Ryan either. I will of course do updates if any new information comes to light in his case, and I also still want to encourage anyone who is at the party, or even just at Sun Peaks in February of 2018, to please reach out to me. Ryan's life was so much more than the events of that night, and that's what I want to leave off with. He is loved and will be remembered fondly by so many.
He was this beautiful baby boy. He was this chubby little baby with all of the black hair was gone, and then this blonde hair started coming through. And he was just really, he was just a really good child. All of my children have been great, but Ryan certainly was easy. And I always thought, oh my goodness, if I had any other children, if they would be somewhat like him, you know, you'd be blessed.
No matter what, I'd be like, I need a ride. And he'd be like in his little pajamas being like, okay, like, let's go. Like, it'd be freezing cold. But I will say, like, he always, no matter what, if I asked him to do something, like, he would always be like, okay. Like, he was not the person to, like, involve himself in, like, conflict or anything like that. That was, like, the least of his worries. Like, because he was, like, he was a goofball. As little kids, you can see like the bond that Julianne and Ryan had. Like he would, because she was a baby at the time, walking, and he would like hold her hand everywhere and kind of do that.
And the other thing I want to say is that you know, Ryan's missed by many people, and I'm one of them. He's a really good kid.
Next time on Nowhere to be Found.
We are starting a new case that is complex and has a lot of moving pieces. This next case is not just one missing person, but four missing women, all from the same rural area in a short amount of time. This is a case that was brought to my attention by a listener,
and I'm hopeful that we'll be able to bring attention to these cases that seem to have fallen out of the spotlight. Make sure to subscribe to Nowhere to Be Found wherever you listen to your podcast to stay up to date. And if you're interested in supporting the show, check out our Patreon page. You can find a link in our show notes.
We've been asked how our listeners can contribute to the show, so we set up an account with Patreon. Check out the link in our show notes if you're interested in supporting our cause. You can also find it on our website, nowheretobefoundpodcast.com.